Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey, everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Friday, September 29, 2023. Okay, it's 10:18 in the morning Eastern Time. Markets are up slightly. We have the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.19%, S&P 500 up 0.57%, and the NASDAQ Composite up 1.17%. You had a big inflation report came out today, show inflation came in a little bit lower than expected for the month of August, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. This is an inflation report the Federal Reserve pays a lot of attention to. You know, I've talked about it in the past. A difference between this report and the Consumer Price Index is a couple of criticisms of the Consumer Price Index is that it's slow to make changes to its components. You know, as I've said in the past, they had VCRs in there into the early 2000s when people were already beginning to move away from DVD players to Blu-ray players. And also the Consumer Price Index is slow at what's called the substitution effect. The example I've used in the past, if you're used to going to Starbucks each day to buy a coffee, you know, for say $3, and then one day you find out the price has gone up to $10, well, the Consumer Price Index just counts that, where the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index takes more into account the substitution effect that you might then buy tea instead. But anyway, the number was supposed to come in, or expected to come in, for the month of August up 0.2%, came in 0.1%. By that index, it's showing inflation now on an annualized basis running around 3.9%. The Federal Reserve is still trying to get that down closer to 2%, but things are moving in the right direction. So the market liked that news. Now, on the other side, though, the market has some concerns over the pending government shutdown, which would occur tomorrow evening, Saturday evening, September 30th, if Congress can't come up with a spending package. The thing with that, though, as you've heard in the past, you know, we've had multiple shutdowns, threats of shutdowns, and the markets have gotten somewhat used to this. The shutdowns go all the way back, actually, to the Anti-Deficiency Act of 1884 that says Congress, which starts its new year on October 1st, must approve a spending plan for the next year. And what we've had happen, the two political parties fight back and forth. A lot of what they're doing is actually pontificating. You've got all these members of Congress up for re-election next year, and they're trying to make statements that they can then go to their voters and say, well, look, this is the stand I took. But then they eventually work it out. So anyway, the market has some concerns about a government shutdown, but they're not like great concerns. Now, in the short term, government shutdowns have limited effects on the economy. But the longer they go, the more of an effect it could have and conceivably could throw the economy into a recession. Consumers are the biggest part. Consumer spending is the biggest part of our economy, almost 70%. But government spending is a fair amount of what's left also. So that's what we have going on there. Okay, we've got a few other things to talk about. And then today I'm going to start coverage of mutual funds. Got some general concepts I want to talk about today. And then on upcoming sessions, we'll get more specific. And I'm also going to be covering more investment strategies that anybody can do, starting with small amounts of money. But the investment strategies that work also help everybody better manage their retirement accounts, 401ks, whatever they might be. But today we'll start with some general concepts. But before we get there, we do have some other news. Yeah, we have a partnership between companies that were really going at it, each other in the personal fitness area, Peloton and Lululemon. They had been suing each other. You know, Peloton makes those exercise machines, and then Lululemon makes the clothing. And I guess what was happening is Peloton was suing Lululemon, claiming they were stealing their clothing ideas because they make clothing also, and Lululemon was counter-suing Peloton. And they were going back and forth. And then what happened, they worked a deal out last year, and now they've announced a partnership. So That was actually good news for Peloton stock. Now, this is a low price stock, so there could be some opportunities here. It was up 10% yesterday. Yeah, this is a company that's had its ups and downs, without a doubt. What happened? This was a stock that before the COVID shutdown was sitting at around $26 or so a share. And then all of a sudden, where you had, you know, people suddenly stuck at home, couldn't go to health clubs, they all ran out by the Peloton equipment, and the stock went up to $150 a share. And then what happened is, you know, after the shutdown, people began selling, a lot of them began selling. Well, it was even during the shutdown, as health clubs began to open, people, you know, then were suddenly selling all their exercise equipment, and Peloton sales just basically collapsed as people were like, well, am I going to buy it new? I can buy it used. So the stock went all the way back down to around, well, yesterday it was around $4.50 a share and then went up 10%. It's right now at $5.04 a share, up 2.86%. The stock symbol is PTON for Peloton, Paul, Tom, Oscar, Nancy. And Lululemon stock, let's see what they've been doing. Their symbol is Lulu, L-U-L-U, like Larry Uncle, Larry Uncle. That's a high price stock. Now they're 300, on the other end, they're $384 a share, $383.81, and they're up 1.2%. Now on that news yesterday, yeah, their stock skyrocketed also. It was on Thursday. It was about 300, I'm having to read it here, about 377 or so. And I don't see skyrocketed, went up to about 385 or so. So anyway, keep an eye on those two. So I worked out a partnership. I could see possibly one buying the other eventually. So who knows? But anyway, they have a partnership. Okay, so we have that. Also, the Hollywood writer's strike has effectively come to an end. I've been talking about that. Effectively, not 100% guaranteed, but what happened? The leaders of the writers' union, basically, what they did, WGA, Writers Guild of America, they went ahead and approved, unanimously approved a contract that had been reached with the major studios. And they let the writers know that as of Wednesday, a couple of days ago, they could go ahead and go back to work. However, the union members still need to vote on this. The voting will take place starting next Monday, October 2nd. It'll go on for a week until the following Monday, October 9th. Conceivably, if the members, the writers themselves, vote against the contract, the union could then take them back out on strike. But I don't think that's going to happen. The indications seem to be they'll approve it. So we have the writers back. Now the next thing will be to move over to the actors. Again, I use actors for male and female. They're also on strike. However, they've been stating in the past, some of the union members there, that they're going to look at the deal that the writers got and use that as a basis for a possible settlement. So we may have everybody back in the entertainment industry before too long. Now, over in the auto industry, that strike is still widening, so that may go on for a while. So we'll have to keep an eye on what goes on there. Okay, so let's talk about mutual funds. So today, some general concepts. All right, so here's how it works in the investment world. There's basically three places to put your money: stocks, bonds, or cash. All right, there are other options, but those are by far are where most of invested money is, as far as what we call liquid assets versus real estate. What a liquid asset is defined as, just so you know, for assets, something of value. Liquid means it can be quickly converted to cash at fair value. So that's the key, at fair value. So yeah, you know, you can sell stocks and bonds and get your money fairly quickly, you know, sell it at fair value. That's what the idea of the market. So, all right, so here's the thing. Generally, stocks, which are ownership of a company, they're for growth. Bonds are for income. Or you could move your money to cash also. Okay, so here's the thing. All right, so basically, let's say you're looking to invest for the long term, a retirement account, you know, payroll deduction, retirement account, 401k, whatever it might be. They're called 401ks, by the way, because in the IRS tax code, they're described under Section 401, Paragraph K. If you work for a not-for-profit, those retirement plans are described under Section 403, Paragraph B, so they're called 403Bs. All right. But let's say you're looking for growth with your money. All right, so you want to buy stocks. Okay, so the problem here is that which stock are you going to buy? See, between the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, we have about 6,100 stocks out there. And, you know, which one are you going to buy? I mean, everybody always has the dreams, of course. I'll buy the next Amazon.com or whatever. But, yeah, you could also buy JCPenney. I remember back in the mid to late 90s, JCPenney was considered the more safe stock than Amazon. A lot of those dot-com stocks went out of business. And yet JCPenney's gone from $100 a share back then. I don't know what they are now, 50 cents or whatever it is. But anyway, so that's the problem. Which one are you going to buy? Now, the average stock on the market sells for, I believe it's still around $50 a share. It might be a little bit higher now, maybe 60 or so. Okay, well, here's the thing. We'll say 50. Most people buy stock 100 shares at a time. That's a $5,000 investment just to get started. And to be truly diversified, instead of putting all your money in one stock that could maybe do well, maybe not, it's been found, a lot of financial studies have been done over the years, it's been found you need to be in 15 different industries, 1-5. Around 15 different industries gives a proper diversification. Now, being diversified does not mean owning Walmart and Target or Home Depot and Lowe's. Those companies are very similar to each other, same industry. 15 different industries. What's been found is that if you go over 15, it doesn't give you really much more benefit. So 15 is the key number. All right. So now I need to own 15 different stocks, 15 different industries at $5,000 a piece. That's $75,000 just to get started. And now when you own individual stocks as an owner of a company, you get bombarded with just messages from the company. They want to let you know about this, let you know about that. The old days, they used to stuff your mailbox. Now, at least it's electronic. But they still do mail stuff, a lot of companies. They want you to vote on this. They want you to vote on that. And for a lot of people, it's like, look, even if I have that kind of money, I don't have that kind of time. And so, you know, even a lot of very wealthy investors find that owning individual stocks is not the best way for them to go. It just creates a lot of, you know, takes up a lot of their time. It just gets confusing. You got to keep track of all this. You got to keep track of that. Then if you sell a stock and buy a stock, you got to keep track of what's called your cost basis, how much you pay for it. What if you bought it multiple times? Say you own 2,000 shares of Disney stock and you bought them each 100 shares at a time, and now you're selling 400 shares. How much did you pay for those 400 shares since you bought them at different times? See what I mean? It can get confusing, particularly at tax time. Problem with bonds, bonds are $1,000 a piece usually, although a lot of municipal bonds, loans to city and state governments, are $5,000 a piece. That can get expensive. And now, you know, you want to have what's called a diversified, in this case, bond portfolio. A lot of times, you know, problem with one bond is that it could get called. You could have locked in too low an interest rate. By called, it means the issuer pays you back early. You could have locked in too low an interest rate. There is a risk of default, especially with corporate bonds. Lots of issues there with bonds, too. And so, for a lot of people, rather than do that, what they do is they turn to what are called mutual funds. Now, what a mutual fund is, and I'll wrap it up here in just a minute, just give it a basic concept. Your money is pooled together with a large number of other investors. And basically, that pooled money is used to buy a collection of stocks where you can get the diversification. Or a collection of bonds. Or it could be some combination of both. Some mutual funds might invest in 50% stocks, 50% bonds. Others are 80% stocks, 20% bonds, vice versa. So you have mutual funds like that. You also have mutual funds that invest just certain kinds of stocks. Some mutual funds only invest in what are called the big blue chip stocks, the big solid companies. We use that term because apparently, back in the day, I'm not much of a gambler. The stock market's enough for me. But apparently, in poker, the blue chips were considered the best. So that's why they're called blue chip stocks. Or you might invest in smaller companies, higher risk, but higher potential return. You might invest just in technology stocks. Mutual funds invest just in healthcare stocks. On the bond world, some mutual funds only invest in U.S. Treasury bonds. Others invest only in municipal bonds or municipal bonds issued by just one state. There's some tax advantages to that we'll talk about another day. Some mutual funds only invest in one part of the world. They only invest in Chinese stocks, only invest in stocks in Western Europe, Australia, whatever it might be. Other mutual funds only invest, I mentioned just in specific industries, but some of them could be like precious metals, invest in like gold mining companies and so forth. So anyway, there's basically mutual funds out there for almost anything anybody could think of, because mutual fund companies that I'll talk about what those are another day, they create the mutual funds to fill market demand. But anyway, that's just a very basic introduction to what mutual funds are, and I'll cover them in more detail on upcoming lessons. But hope everyone's doing well. Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I'll talk to everybody again soon. Take care. See ya.